The Bible tells us that Jesus is risen, but I know he's alive because we talk to him, we communicate with him, we spend time with him. But another reason I know he's alive is because he continues to change lives, because he is risen from the dead. So Doris is going to come up and talk about how the risen Lord has changed her life.
He has indeed. As most Austrians, I grew up Catholic. And while I always considered myself a Christian, it was not until well into my 20s that I truly had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. My version of Christianity up to this point was to attend Mass on Easter and Christmas. Knowing what I know now, this was more tradition, the thing to do, than anything else. I didn't really understand the scripture readings or the words of the priest whenever I went. I heard the words, but the meaning, let alone the application to my life, totally escaped me every single time. And I was totally okay with that, because that was the norm all around me, in my family and amongst my friends. As a child, growing up in Austria, life was good, or so I thought. Until I began to realize that the outbursts of unfiltered and uncontrolled rage by my father, his physical and verbal assaults on my mother, my sister and I, were not normal and became increasingly terrifying to me. It was many years later, because we didn't talk about this stuff, right? We just kept silent. Whenever an outburst started, we all ran and closed the windows so our neighbors wouldn't hear. And it was many years later that I realized there was a word for that: domestic violence. And so while I had a good life from a material perspective, I also lived in constant fear, and I really want to say in terror. Terror and fear when the next outburst would take place, what we should do, what we should say, what we shouldn't do, what we shouldn't say. We lived lives on eggshells, and maybe some of you can relate. I was afraid for myself, but even more so for my mother and sister. And so, even as young as 6 or 7, I quickly took on the role of protector for my sister and my mother. And whenever I could, whenever I physically could, and I was not too afraid, I would stand in between my father's rage and my mother and sister. Many times I hung off my father's arms as he had his hands and fingers around their necks. And many times he flung me across the room. But at last and at least, we all lived to see another day. When I was in my early 20s, my father had an affair, and it was then that my mother made her first attempt, and I say attempt, to file for divorce. As you might or could imagine, my father's violence only escalated from that point on. So much so that my mother's lawyer charged me to be there when the divorce papers would be delivered. Now, some of you might sit and think, well, why didn't they file for a restraining order? We did several times. But the law in Austria at that time was so that any perpetrator had 48 hours upon delivery of the restraining order to leave the house. And I knew we would not survive that. I feared we would not even survive an hour. With a man so blinded by sin, hatred, pain, and rage, no locked door, not a single locked door, believe me, we tried it all, kept him at bay. My father was fueled by superhuman strength during those fits. I stared evil in its eyes. I truly did. So much so that I began to despair of life. I was afraid all the time, had no hope left. The police couldn't help us, no lawyer could help us. I wished, there were many times I wished for a brother, that I didn't have to be there to take the blows. I had no hope left that anything would change, and my only escape at that time from the terror was death itself. I was ready to die, and I contemplated suicide. I was done. I was done. And it was my best friend Ute, during this time of my life, who began sharing with me about Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, and how he would somehow make a difference in my life. I listened to her, and to be quite honest with you, most of it sounded way too good to be true. Way too good to be true. And certainly way too good to be true for somebody like me, who all her life heard was called every name, every vile name under the sun. And after a while, I started to believe every single one of it. That I'm no good. I'm not good for anything. I will never amount to anything. I'm the greatest disappointment in my parents' life. And so I thought, certainly a person, a figure like Jesus Christ, who is so perfect, could not love somebody like me. And yet my friend persisted and kept telling me about Jesus. And finally, I think she was about to give up. And finally, one day she said to me, "Doris, what you have to lose? Throw yourself on the rock, Jesus Christ, and see what happens. Give him a chance." That was her final invitation to me, and I thought about it. I'm a very practical person, and I said, well, I guess I can give him a chance. I give him one chance, but then I'm out of here. If that doesn't work, I'm out of here. I did not pray any elaborate prayer. Quite frankly, I had nothing left to say. I had no fight left in me. All I did was say, okay, Jesus, I give you a chance. Not expecting a whole lot, but in my mind's eyes, I crawled onto this proverbial rock, that image just stuck with me. And I was just laying there, broken and battered and bruised, crying, and I stayed there. And I stayed, and I stayed, and I stayed. And the longer I stayed there, the more I realized that he would never leave me, that this is real, that he truly is my rock, that he will never give way. And while absolutely nothing has changed at that point in my circumstances, my father was still raging, everything was still absolute chaos and terror, but everything was different. Everything was different. Hope had returned to my life. I had hope. For the first time in my life, I had hope. And so I cannot tell you how special it is for me today to share that, my testimony with you. Because when we sing about Resurrection Sunday, what it tells me is that Christ truly has rescued me from death and has given me life, and life more abundant than I could have ever imagined. I would not be here today. I would not be in the United States. I would not be alive today, that I know, would it not have been for Jesus Christ. He has changed my life. He has given me his life. You can never explain it perfectly to anybody. You have to experience it. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you, those that have not made a commitment to Christ, give him a chance. Please give him a chance. You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. My life was not always perfect moving forward. There were lots of pain, lots of disappointment and hurt, lots of uncertainty. But Christ, my hope, my rock, never gave way. And so when you would ask me, who is Jesus Christ to you today? I say, he's the rock. He's my rock. He's my rock of my salvation. That is who he is to me. So give him a chance. His love is so much more than you can ever imagine. And he has life for you, for each one of you. Give him a chance. This church, the Church of the Messiah, I've been saved now. You know, we say we've been saved. I have a personal relationship with Christ for many, many years now, and I've been to many, many different churches along this journey. But I've never experienced a church like Church of the Messiah, where the love of Christ is tangible. You can feel it, you can touch it. And so the first few times I came here, I just cried all the time. Niall just always looked at me. He thought he did something wrong. I said, Niall, you're good, you're good. I was just always so moved by the love of Christ. That is, you can feel it, you can sense it. So I invite you to just give yourself over to this love. Give him a chance. He will change your life in more than ways than just one. So hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the rock of my salvation. Amen. Thank you.
Wow, thank you. She's a miracle, isn't she? And I know most of you know that, but she's the dean of the School of Business over at Regent University. You think about all that God did in her life to bring her there, all the healing he's done through his love and his power and his cross. Amen. Amen. Okay, Tom's going to read the gospel to us now.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Oh, man. Gospel reading this morning, Luke 24, verses 1 to 12, may be found on page 787 of your Pew Bible. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel of our Lord Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Amen to that. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because the words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The Gospel of our Lord Christ.
Praise to you,